fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told, so now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up.
Stand up for your right.
Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time chief engineer. Applications are due by midnight on Monday, March 4th to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, or by emailing engineerhire@kboo.fm. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regards to the minimum qualifications and by answering the following question: why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Again, for more information, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO Portland.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I went out on my bike yesterday for the first time in a month or so. I needed to move. Been a bit sluggish lately. It's affecting my health, so I needed that movement and fresh air, and I was rewarded with a beautiful sight of glistening sleet falling in a sunshaft, moving like a sped-up snowfall. Fortunately, the hailstones were pea-sized or smaller, so aside from an impromptu facial exfoliation, I suffered no ill effects, and the rainbow was very beautiful. But I want to warn you about the hail. It's going to get a lot larger, and it's going to happen sooner than anyone wants to think, maybe this summer, somewhere in the Northwest. The weather that we have long expected to be confined to the southern states is going to come our way, and that's because there's more energy and more moisture in the air now. Hail that is golf ball size can hurt you badly, and baseball size stuff will kill you. Meteorologists are warning California about atmospheric rivers, and we here in Oregon are going to get some of that as well. If you've lived in Oregon and Washington for a few years, you've doubtless heard the term Pineapple Express, referring to huge currents of moisture-laden air streaking across the Pacific to flood us here on the West Coast. Well, this is the same phenomenon, plus climate change. It's the Pineapple Express with teeth. And now, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has had to create a rating systems for atmospheric rivers from level 1 to level 5, like hurricanes and such. Here's an article from Washington Post about the phenomenon. It's by Mike Branham. He wrote on Tuesday, he's referring to a couple of weeks ago, when California was drying out from the latest deluge sourced from rivers in the sky. A consortium of researchers announced the debut of a simple 1-5 gauge to clearly delineate the punch delivered from weak to exceptional, with moderate, strong, and extreme in between. The scale is based on, intuitively, how much airborne moisture is present above any given point on the map, and for how long the atmospheric river, or AR, flowed over that point. The atmospheric river scale categorizes events based on how much airborne moisture, is present above any given point on the map and duration of the flow over that point. AR is often previously referred to as Pineapple Express because of their source near Hawaii, are responsible for 92% of the West Coast's heaviest three-day rain events, according to past research. So what was needed, according to F. Martin Marty Ralph, director of the Center for Western Water and Weather Extremes at the University of California San Diego Scripps Institution of Oceanography was a situational awareness support tool. So now they have this, and they write, with this scale, forecasters can better warn the public about how damaging an AR-fed storm might be. Looking backward, researchers can rank past events and sift through collected weather data to find long-term trends. The first atmospheric river event to be retroactively rated was the major storm that struck California on Saturday and Sunday of that week, which caused cloudbursts over wildfire burn scars near Santa Barbara and Los Angeles while dumping more than 7 feet of snow on Lake Tahoe's ski resorts. At landfall on the central coast, the atmospheric river carried a maximum integrated water vapor transport of 988 kilograms, and it has /m/m, and I'm going to guess meter per second, while conditions last 45 hours. So they called that an AR Category 3, AR Cat 3, or strong event. Previous analysis has shown that on the West Coast, Oregon receives the most atmospheric rivers categorized as extreme, averaging about one a year. Washington State gets an extreme AR every other year, the Bay Area every 3 years, and the Los Angeles once a decade. The 96-97 atmospheric river that caused California's worst flooding since 1950 is categorized as an exceptional storm, but in a typical winter, the strongest ARs hitting the Southern California coast are AR Categories 2 and 3. ARs, atmospheric rivers, can wreak havoc on western coasts in the mid-latitudes worldwide, such as when Britain and the Iberian Peninsula are socked by moisture imported from the Caribbean, but most are beneficial. So there's more on that article. As I was saying, it's in the Washington Post, and it is by Mike Branham. And it's good news that the NOAA is on the ball with this sort of thing, but this sort of scientific and bureaucratic change also points to the fact that we all need to adjust to climate change now. If you're a bicyclist, for example, you need to watch the weather forecast for the intensity of any expected hailstorm now, particularly in the spring and summer. The increasing scale and strength of the atmospheric river phenomenon means that you should take any necessary steps to protect your home from flooding events that could come not just from swollen rivers and streams, but from direct downpours. For example, even though I'm not near a river, I will be constructing water shields for my basement windows out of car windshields, because that's a cheap, easy way to do it, and it looks okay. And I will put small sandbags around those edges, and I'll check the storm drain outside my house again to see that it is still clear. And I was never good at heat stress, so global warming is getting my attention in that regard as well. My room air conditioner is getting older and less efficient, so I intend to look for a good used unit now while the prices are still low. Have you thought ahead to summer? Have you thought ahead to global warming events, extreme heating events? Do you think you can take it? Do you have the materials? Do you have a plan? If you don't have the materials, do you have a place to go? Do you have a stream that you can dunk your legs into? What are you going to do about the present emergency, the real emergency of global warming? I'll be blocking my east-facing bedroom windows, which heat up in the summer. And I'll use Mylar if I can find affordable stuff, or failing that, I'll again put up aluminum foil during the summer, better than nothing, and it reflects it right out. And I will be repairing my roof if I can arrange the financing, using materials durable enough for larger hail. So this situation also means that climate change should be addressed as a real and present danger that as it is. On the collective level, this means supporting the Green New Deal. The first thing that the terrified corporate press says about the Green New Deal is, how can it be paid for? But that's not really the issue. When the corporations that run the government want a nice profitable war, or when they want a multi-trillion-dollar handout to reward them for corrupt behavior, they literally have the system create the money. And the same can be done for the Green New Deal. It's not that it can't easily be done. It's that the Green New Deal redistributes power and wealth to the working class. The Green New Deal is game over for the oh-so-profitable immiseration game they've been running on us since Reagan. That's what they fear. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up, I was at the Abolish ICE and Abolish the Wall rally in downtown Portland, just south of the Burnside Bridge on Monday. And I recorded some of the audio, and I'm going to play some of that for you now. I was there for a couple of hours. This is just 22 minutes of audio. So go ahead, engineer.
I'm in a play representing what is going on at the border right now. So please hope. Vamos a ver, miembros, pasen por aquí enfrente del público, por favor.
Help us.
Yes, please.
Inhumane life. That's what we are going through, and we must come together to represent our values as a human right. As human beings, we all deserve to have life, freedom, water for all. And I want to mention that those brothers and sisters who are being detained at the border for leaving water for us. We want to let our president know that this is not right. Yeah. That we got to be a nation where everybody is welcome. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, thank you. And I want to thank all the comrades from the Occupy ICE PDX who've been working hard on putting this together.
Thank you, Princess. That breaks my heart. It was really hard to watch. Welcome, comrades, welcome. This is what resistance looks like. On behalf of Occupy ICE, I want to thank you for coming out today. Thank you for immediately taking action and responding to this fake emergency. And responding, more importantly, to the real emergency. Because we are under attack. Our democracy is being threatened. This authoritarian force is edging its way into our space, into our psychology, onto our land, into the things that we need, we love, and we cherish as human beings. The United States has been one of the greatest perpetrators of violence in the world, while simultaneously demonizing individuals that are fleeing their home countries due to state violence, gang violence, lack of medicine, and extreme poverty. Instead of Trump addressing the root causes of the problems in Central America countries and the role the United States has played in them, he is calling them invaders and shutting the door on them. He has cut security and humanitarian aid in Central America by a third. He has attempted termination of the temporary protection status for Salvadorians and Nicaraguans, which would force 250,000 people back to these countries. He attempted restriction of asylum claims to not include domestic and gang violence. He shut down legal avenues for migration like Central America Minor Program that allows for minors to apply for asylum in their home countries, and has attempted to repeal the law that allows for migrants fleeing persecution to apply for asylum in the United States, no matter how they got here. These are all anti-immigrant tactics that have been used for decades and now are being used to manufacture a crisis. Even Border Patrol admits that we have a historically low border crossings from Mexico, and that border crossings have now become a majority family units and unaccompanied children. Migration is not new, and it's not immoral. What's immoral is this manufactured lie of a declaration that serves to line the pockets of the greedy and corrupt to lock the innocent in cages and build a racist culture that will only push more closer to death. This is one of the many reasons why we march to stand in solidarity with the migrant community and to bring light to the many issues they face due to our government's totalitarian immigration policies. This is why we need community power to hold every level of government accountable for their actions so we can end the mass imprisonment of migrant families, No human is illegal. We are the people, and it is time for us to make change happen. The Occupy ICE movement spurred nationwide occupation protests to protesting Trump's deliberate policies of cruelty. Now, we are in the streets, we are in City Hall, we are fighting for the human rights of the asylum seekers, we are speaking up for those who are not protected when speaking out, those who are too young to be heard, and those who have been silenced. We demand that Trump's bogus declaration of a national emergency be terminated immediately. We demand that no funding will be appropriated for even one inch of a racist, ineffective, demagogic wall of hate. We demand that asylum seekers' rights be upheld and they be allowed due process. We demand that the immigration system be reformed so that it reflects our moral values as a country. We do not need the agency ICE. We demand that ICE be abolished. Trump may think that he is acting as our mouthpiece, but even he knows that the real power is here in the streets. We are not part of society, we are society. These are our streets, this is our protest, this is our movement, and we are not going away. Gandhi envisioned a democracy established by nonviolence where there is equal freedom for all. We must also envision that democracy. We must rise up and resist. We must fight each other's fights. We must not let our voices be silent. Abolish ICE. Next, we have Teresa Mitchell.
Let's have a hand for Amy Sitars, who did the Bronze Shoes Project, which you may have seen, and who organized this rally. Boy, she organized and organized and organized and organized this rally, and I know a lot of other people did too, but I've watched her go. So thank you, Amy. My name's Teresa Mitchell. I broadcast on KBOO Portland. I have for decades now. And Amy asked me to talk about the big picture here. The big picture that brings us here to this rally. Before I do that, though, I'll talk about the little picture. The immediate crisis is, of course, funding for the wall. And we all know that actually it's been very necessary for the president to arrogate emergency powers for and divert funds in the face of Congress for this very necessary anti-aircraft artillery to shoot down pterodactyls. You looked, didn't you? I mean, it's too bad, though, that it's not as arbitrary as that. The fact is, this president, this demagogue, is very clever when it comes to his understanding of the fuel of American society and the division of American society for the sake of the hegemony of the billionaires, and that is our unacknowledged racial aggression. White supremacy is what the wall is really about. And this is something we're going to have to address. It's the thing that drives it, the thing that brought Trump to power, really, is the anxiety of white population, people like myself, who don't know what whiteness is fully, but who live it and who benefit from it. It is a system of oppression. Whiteness is a system of oppression. It's something that I personally benefit from, and it's changing. The demographics are changing. In the next decade, white people are not going to be the majority anymore, and by 2060, white people are going to be one-third of the population, and people can feel this, and people who want to continue to get the better part of the crumbs that the billionaires leave us hope that this will not change. But we must see what is happening. If we are to address the wall, the power of Trump in producing his wall, if we are to address Trump's demagogic power, then we must address white supremacy. And that's the big picture. That's what it's really about. White rule has an expiration date. In the past, yeah, it was possible to make a seeming justification for white rule by pointing to the overwhelming majority of whites it was always wrong and racist, but now it's much more obvious. I've got this new technology here. It's great. You just you write on it with a little stylus, and it stays there. There's no ads on it. It doesn't disappear. I really like it. The MAGA solution is to rule from the minority. And the thing is, this is going to get much worse because there's no legitimacy to it. And that's why we see the cruelty. That's the logic of the cruelty. It didn't come from nowhere. It's not pterodactyls. This cruelty is intended to frighten all of us, but most importantly, to frighten people of color. And it's all of the cruelty. It's all of the cruelty that has always been here from the days when Africans were stolen from their continent and brought here and broken in the fields where you can still, if you plow deep enough, come up with bones where people were buried, building the first tier of wealth in this country from the indigenous people whose land was stolen. All of this has been illegitimate, and all of it must still be addressed, and reparations must be paid. And this is what Trumpism and the wall and white supremacy is really about. It's trying to avoid that and trying to create a system so frightening and so cultishly wrong that it can't be directly addressed. But to address it, we must be clear about this. By diverting attention to white supremacy fantasies, the billionaire class can keep everyone down. I want to talk turkey about that. Now, a lot of you, I'm looking at you, some of you are doing okay, and most of you are not. We are a beaten people. We are living a paycheck away from living on the streets, and many of us are living on the streets. This is a horrifying society. We are in the terror. This is bad. We have to acknowledge that we have been broken into poverty. This is an impoverished nation. The fact that many of us have houses doesn't change the fact that we're working two jobs, we're working three jobs. You know, I'm lucky I don't have that. But most of you don't have what I have, which is a union pension and Social Security. That's what gives me the time to come up here and think about this and talk to you. And this is another effect of this economic crisis that has been brought onto all of your heads. The fact that you don't have time to think this out, you don't have time to vote. You can't get off work to vote. I mean, in this state, you get to vote by mail. In most states, you do not. It all works together. It's economic pressure, and I want to get more specific. And there's a figure that I want you to remember. It's $46,000. There was an article in These Times magazine recently, and it was about the 30 corporations of the Dow Jones Industrial Average and what they're doing. And if I tell you specifically what they're doing, I can put you to sleep. I can tell you that they're buying up their own stock, and they're taking profits in that way, and they're making billions of dollars. Well, that kind of gives you a buzz, doesn't it? So what? Well, the thing is, it's your money. It's your $46,000. And the fact is, if you take the $385 billion that they take every year and give to their stockholders instead of reinvesting the corporations, instead of paying wages, that's $46,000 for each of 8 million workers. That's where the money went. The money went to capitalism. When you hear capitalism, you think, oh, that's economic activity. Everyone's got to have, you know, everyone starts making excuses as soon as I say the word capitalism. No, this is what capitalism, this is corporate capitalism, this is blood sucking. And this is what you're being diverted from acknowledging. What would your life be like if over the last dozen years, you and everyone you knew had a full-time job and had an additional $46,000? What would your life be like? What do you think it would be like? Do you think people would be on the streets? Do you think we'd be falling for this crap about, you know, these terrible criminals who have brown skin are coming and have to be stopped on the wall? No. All of that comes from the fact that we have accepted our own economic and political breaking, and it was political decisions that brought us to this. So please keep that in mind. $46,000 stolen from you and you and you, every one of you, every year. $46,000. No, I'm not kidding. Yes, it adds up. That's how you get billions of dollars, by the way. How do you become a billionaire? You steal it from your workers. You steal $1,000 from 1 million workers. What's 1,000 times 1 million? Don't answer if you're British. What's 1,000 times 1 million in American usage? It's $1 billion. That's how you get it. You steal it. No one's worth $1 billion. No one, absolutely no one, is worth that kind of wealth. So we have devolved to rule by cruelty. The gloves come off. We see the iron fist. It must get worse. This is always the American paradigm. It was always built on cruelty, and now it's come back. And so now we see not just the wall, but we see Elliot Abrams returning. And if there's a few of you who are old like me, and you remember Elliot Abrams and Ronald Reagan and the horror, the genocidal slaughter the terror policies that were applied to Central and South America, mostly Central America, and Elliot Abrams conducted it cheerfully, gleefully. He loved it. He is a racist. He is a white supremacist. He is a patriarchalist. He is everything that supports this separation of us from our morality and us from our wealth, from our prosperity. It's everything that supports this crazy paradigm. And Elliot Abrams was the point person for the last attempt at a coup in Venezuela. So now he's back. He's in charge of Venezuela policy. And Trump would love to divert your attention further and to attack Venezuela and Nicaragua and Cuba. Why? Because they're poor countries that can't afford a good defense. It can make for a handy, bloody, nasty victory. And all of his followers will just absolutely be thrilled by it. We must confront this because it is racist. We must confront our racism. We must decide, when I say we, in this case, I mean white people, my fellow white people, we must confront our racism. We must understand that whiteness is a false paradigm. We must renounce and abolish whiteness. Really, if we get to the other side, there isn't going to be any such damn thing as whiteness. There will be some people who have paler skin than others. That's where we need to get. And it's a long way from here. But that's what's driving this crisis. That is what is making the wall happen. Thanks for your time.
All right, I'm going to announce a very special speaker that we have tonight, Aranza Aguirre. Everybody give it up.
Hello. I just want to talk about why we did the play. So we just want to show you guys as what's been happening in the border and around there. So me and my dad have been, and our family have been noticing that lots of people are getting detained and going back to their country. For example, my dad was accused of being a criminal. And so they were trying to take him away. And it's similar to what's happening around the border because they're trying to separate other families. And other people, if your families were there, you would feel sad. But I've also been thinking about things like other families are there too, and we should go and help them. But other people are scared because they don't want to get detained either. And I think we should just group all together and help others.
All right, so we'll have to wrap it up there. That was audio from the Abolish ICE, Abolish the Wall, Tear Down the Wall rally Monday, just south of the Burnside Bridge in downtown Portland, Oregon. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up, we're going to have Per Fogring, so stay tuned for that. Fight the Empire. You've been listening to Press Watch on 90.7 FM in Southern Washington and other frequencies in Cascadia. And via KBOO.FM, going out to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 29th annual Cascade Festival of African Films, happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. Most films will show at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, room 104 at PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 29th annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. ¶¶
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogring. And there's been a funny little news item going around the internet lately. Of course, it's not, I wouldn't call it fake, but it's not a true item. And but it says that, yes, Mexico has said it will pay for the wall, but if we use the old borders. In other words, Mexico has offered to build a wall that goes through Northern California, Nevada, and kind of circles around through Colorado and Utah, and it kind of includes all the land that the U.S. Stole from Mexico back in the 1845. Turns out that, of course, the Mexicans, they also stole, both sides stole land from the Indians, who were the first ones.